everyone. This is Todd Black of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast, aka Triforce Todd. We were recording this podcast, and as you're going to hear in a second, we had a little bit of a technical issue, and it kind of screwed over our recording to where we could hear the recording, but we couldn't like get data or something. So we lost actually the first 20 minutes of this episode where we talked about the games we've been playing and the various Pokemon Snap news that happened during the week. So we couldn't figure out how to salvage it, so we're just going to continue the podcast from this point where we left off. So we do apologize again. We do explain what happened a little bit, kind of in tongue-in-cheek way. I do apologize for this, and we'll make sure that next week we do not have this issue again. So with that, please enjoy this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. So yeah, new Pokemon Snap comes out on April 30th, so be sure to check that out. All right, moving on, we have Indie World.
Hold on, before we move on to Indie World, we have to pull back the curtain, and you have to tell the audience what just happened.
No. No, we did not.
Our recording got cut, and there was 30, like, you didn't realize this, but there were like 30 minutes of me and Will waiting for Todd to come back, because, Todd, would you like to take it from here?
So, about that Indie World.
Todd fell on his power surge.
Yes, and I accidentally knocked some stuff off of my computer tower, and it hit my circuit protector, so my computer got shut down. Then I had to restart it, which kicked off an update, which took 10 minutes, and then I had to load up again. So yes, there was a gap in the actual recording of this episode. Are you happy?
I am. I just wanted to get the surge protector part in because it's truly unbelievable that that happened, and that's a hilarious mental image.
Welcome to my world. It happens all the time. Anyway, moving on, we have an Indie World presentation because clearly we couldn't get a Nintendo Direct, so they threw another Indie World presentation at us. Okay. So, Tyler, do you want to take this over? I know you're dying to try and be a good host.
So everybody has a role on this podcast, and my role is the support, you know? I like fill in the gaps. I'm not really the take the lead on the Indie World type of guy. You know, you wrote the article. You're a natural fit for this. I think you're a natural fit for this.
Very well. So, yes, there was an Indie World presentation that happened the other day, and there were some interesting titles in it, including some mainstream titles, I actually would like to say, like with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, which is indeed coming out to Switch. There was a little bit of a hesitation on that earlier, but yes, it is coming to Switch, so that is good. There are also some really unique indie games like Road 96, where you're going to have, like, potentially hundreds of thousands of options in terms of, what do they call it? A narrative procedural or something like that?
Yeah.
And then there was Aerial Knights Never Yield, a game made in Detroit, which is pretty cool. There's the time-based JRPG Chris Tales. Fez is coming to Switch, so that's something. Oxenfree 2, Lost Signals, that's another one that's coming out. And some of the games are actually already out right now, including Belonging, which is definitely a title I'm going to talk about. But overall, guys, what were the games that really got your attention in the Indie Showcase?
See, this is where I shine. I shine in this. Well, I'll take this one first because this is
where sure. Go ahead.
So for me, Chris Tales was the standout game. It has a really cool graphic style. I like the time travel mechanic, the idea of weakening foes by winding back time or probably fasting forward time as well. It was a really cool idea, and I think that game is going to be a real slam dunk winner. So that was number one for me.
For me, like, I probably say, like, aside from TMNT, Skull, the Hero Slayer, is actually seems to be very an interesting take. Like, yes, trading heads actually have different powers, roguelike, and just like that whole action sequence, created from a Korean studio, which, yeah, overall it seems like a very good hack and slash, but again using heads, so yeah, don't lose your head over it. It's so, yeah, Skull, the Hero Slayer seems to be a very good game to look out for.
So you're saying you would take that game head on? Don't try and help.
I regret saying go ahead there. I totally regret that. That was terrible. I apologize.
Dude, get your head on
really
straight.
Fun. I was hoping that would just be a 2D platformer. That didn't seem like it needed to be a roguelite to me. And that did shake my interest a little bit, because I thought the trailer was tremendous when they were like, what if it was Twisted and you were the bad guy? I think that's probably a fun experience. The TMNT Shredder's Revenge also looked delightful. Turtles in Time is a fantastic game. And that one is a definite grab for me as well. I think that's an online Streets of Rage. Yes, made by the same people who did Streets of Rage.
Published.
Delightful. Good one.
Yeah, for me, there's always going to be games that stick out to you in one reason or another. Road 96 is one of them, because the way they did the trailer, I think, was really clever with showing all the different paths overlapping on each other. I think the boldest game was The Longing, because you're asking players to play for 400 days. Now, apparently there's a way to fast forward the 400 days a little bit by doing tasks, and that's fine, but there's like a clock on the top of the screen, and it's telling you that you have 400 days to wait until your master wakes up.
And it's just like,
that's bold. It's apparently based on a fairy tale or whatever from Germany. That's bold that you would base it off of that, but the fact that you're actually watching like time scroll down, and it's like, I have to wait 400 days of a kind to beat this game? Okay! Yeah, that's a lot of faith you're putting in players.
That's plus 1 year. It's like, if we're going by Animal Crossing standards, like, sure, if you're playing like Animal Crossing, it's not as demanding, like, when it goes with your real internal Switch clock. But yeah, playing this thing for like 400 hours, okay, like, was it 400 days? I forgot the 400, time.
Dude, 400 hours isn't that long. 400 days is a lot.
Yeah. 400 days. It's just okay. I mean, granted, it is also that survival thing. Like, even just that, I think also what I remember in the trailer is that, like, even the conversations of your character, like, yeah, this is how I spend my time, trying not to go descend into madness. It's like, okay, at least it's self-aware. So yeah,
that one looked very intriguing. It caught my eye, but I thought it feels like it's a better idea in your head than it actually is fun to play.
Probably.
Like, 400 days, like, I know you said there's ways to speed up the timer. That's a lot, and it didn't look like there was a ton of stuff to do, or at least a ton of interesting stuff to do. But I do appreciate the concept. Like, the concept was very good. And I actually also liked Road 96, Todd. That one looked... I totally agree with you on the trailer. It was really well done.
Yeah.
The other problem, though, was that... And I find this happens with every... is that there are always, like, one or two games that try and just, like, suck you in with a trailer, and yet they tell you nothing about the game. Like, there was two games from like a respected publisher. I can't remember what they were. I'll try and find it. But they like did like very basic trailers of, you know, like the typical narration cutting from scene to scene, and like, you know, what am I looking at though? You know, what am I supposed to be feeling here? You know, and I hate those ones, because it's like. Like, with Road 96, I at least have a feeling of what I'm supposed to be experiencing. And oh, here, like, Hindsight, that was it.
Hindsight and the Last Stop.
Like, you know, what am I supposed to be experiencing here? What am I supposed to be feeling here? You know, what's my motivation? And it's just, you know, kind of a generic mystery trailer. And I'm like, okay, I get it, per se, but, you know, what am I supposed to be... feeling. They're Annapurna Interactive. Yeah, that's them.
Oh yeah, okay.
I was just like, what am I supposed to be feeling here? And I didn't get it. So like, why would I play those games if I'm not like immediately feeling it? You know? I gotta be like Shulk here. I'm really feeling it.
Or Mr. Krabs, who was also really until he got canceled. That was really sad. They pulled that episode from streaming services. Anyway.
I see what you did there.
The little extra news story in there. There is no game. That was one I needed to point out.
There's a game.
There is no game.
I'm looking right at it.
You guys are undercutting my exact point, which is That was so cheesy and terrible. That was terrible.
Todd approves.
The who's on first thing was just unnecessary, and I did not think it was that funny. And there's always one indie showcase moment where they like the dialogue of the game is just like, oh, that I don't like that. And that was that one for me. So that was tough.
Well, like, that game was originally out on Steam. Well, I think it was on Early Access. But yeah, like, there is no game. It's like, is that certain humor. Like, again, who's on first base? That famous us comedy skit is just like, yeah, there is no game. But that game is just like, it really is quite clever. Like, I've seen some playthroughs, I've seen some of the levels, and like, it is quite clever when you really force you to think outside the box. So, like, if you need something that's actually very fresh, you definitely play this. There is no game. Definitely try it out.
So wait, who's on first?
Will kind of won me over.
Who is
with that?
Yeah.
Who is? Yes, naturally. Yes, so naturally is on first. No, who is on first? That's what I'm asking you. Who is on first? I love it. I love that.
That's just absolutely famous sketch. But yeah, and also like they kind of wrap it up with this that end of it. And I know this game is like very like quite famous. If anything else, like Oxenfree, but now it's the sequel Oxenfree 2, which. Yeah, like I know I definitely seen some gameplays of it, but I'm not really sure what it really is. Aside from the whole using the radio frequency to like solve puzzles and all that, Oxenfree. So I can't really say how I feel about the sequel getting here. I know a lot of people are excited about it, but Oxenfree 2 is kind of an interesting game, which I need to really explore more of.
Yeah, I would need to get the original, which I've thought about getting. Quite a few times, actually. That was how they closed the show, too, right? Oxenfree 2?
Yes, yes.
Which
yes,
I thought
yes.
was weird, because that was another one of the trailers that, you know, if you didn't play the first Oxenfree, you're going to be lost, which I totally was. I was like...
Me too.
Like the signals thing, I thought, like, okay, that's cool, but, like, give me more here, so...
The graphics look neat. It got me visually, it sucked me in, but I agree, I didn't really understand the story. That brings us to the most important question.
Go on.
However... Did you guys like the presentation?
Like
I remember we were talking about this before the thing came out, because you were like super excited. You were like, oh, I love the Indie World presentations. They're so much fun.
You always overstate my enthusiasm for things. I always like the Indie World showcase.
And that's
I
fine.
Think they're good, but it's not like, oh, I can't wait. It's going to be the greatest thing ever. No. It's just I like the Indie World showcases. I do.
That's fine, like, but just like when I watch them, I like to see like what the indie world comes up with. I really do. I like to see the creativity, which we definitely saw. But I'm like, have I ever bought an indie game via the Indie World presentation? I got close once, and another one that I wanted to, that I thought I would get, like I never heard of again, despite I know the fact that it apparently came out. I never heard of it again outside of that Indie World presentation. So it's like, you know, I go to see it from like a developer standpoint to see like the creativity, but I have never bought an indie game based on something I've seen from Indie World. So
yeah.
And I mean, the only thing that probably would almost got me is probably my friends Pedro, or heck, even to a certain extent Hades as well. Like that in the end I did got Hades, but that's from Supergiant Games. It's like. Indies is always an interesting thing, like, because, like, again, we always want to go support the indies because they're not like the whole big AAA developers that we always knew, always very familiar with. So, like, the indies, they always have something fresh, be it if they are polished or not, because, like, they always have something intriguing to say, at least, then that's why Nintendo decided to invest in them. But, like, whether or not they are actually quote unquote good, like, that's really subjective to say, at least. And again, the fact we saw TMNT, like everybody wants TMNT because we knew about it, and like some other games. Again, I like Skull. I like again just like the whole concept of it all. So, and of course, like there's also like the classic Chris Tales of the RPGs and all that. So you never know, like that with these indies presentations. Sometimes it could be good, sometimes it could be bad. Like you never know. It's like a box of chocolates.
That's a great example. That's a
thank
great
you,
point.
Forrest.
It really is. It's true though. There's always like three or four or five even games that you're like, no interest at all, zero. There's always like three or so that you're like, I know I'm not going to get this, but I am still interested nonetheless. then there's like two that you're like, there's a chance that I'm going to get this. And for me, there's always two that's like, yes, I'm definitely getting this. I think my Switch catalog is filled with indie games. I have a ton, and pretty much all of them I learn about through the Indie World showcases. I just think our enthusiasm for it is a difference in our gaming habits. I like indie games a lot.
Now, and for those of you who are thinking like, oh, well, Todd just hates indie games. My job, one of my actual jobs, is QA tester for indie games. Like, no joke, I work on a lot of indie games, and I've had to actually test some on the Switch, all right? And it's been fun, but when I think about what I want to do in my spare time, I don't think, hey, what indie game should I go and, you know, try out? And that's not an insult to indie developers. I work with them a lot, but I just don't think about it. And, you know, I was thinking about getting Hades. I just haven't gotten around to it. You know, everyone I've heard play it love it, so that's great. But it's just, I feel, I don't know, safer, more content with certain mainstream titles. I mean, even like the less action-packed ones like Phoenix Wright. So
I was exactly like that until Celeste like changed everything for me.
Where's that review, by the way?
It's coming. It's coming. So I'll give you a little insight. 10 out of 10. I guess a little preview for you guys. 10 out of 10.
Oh, that's a big surprise.
Arguably the greatest game of all time. It's that or Earthbound. I think it's Celeste. So the review is coming, though. Uh-huh. It will be here eventually, uh-huh. I promise. Uh-huh. After I played that game, it changed what I think, how I viewed indie games. Before, I thought, I just don't have the time to play all these, so I'd rather just play the newest, biggest titles. That game just blew my socks off, and now there's, like I said, at least two games per indie showcase that I really like. The Messenger was one. Cyber Shadow.
Yeah.
Ikenfell. Like, there's a ton of games that I really, really like that are revealed here. Hades, of course, is a gigantic one. So.
Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that for people who are willing to take those chances on indie games like yourself, this is what they're for. And so that they're doing your job because they've clearly gotten you to spend money on indie games. So there you go. All right. Moving on to a game that I most definitely am looking forward to. What?
It's time for you to gush, so go right ahead.
Yes, I am going to fanboy now because we're going to talk about Nioh: The World Ends With You. Because I've been waiting for this bloody sequel for far too long, and the last week they've been dropping new details. We got a brand new trailer for the game that's revealed that it will be coming out on the Switch and PS4, not 5, 4, mm-hmm. I checked. On July 27th, so I'll be getting that instead of Skyward Sword. Are you now entertained, Tyler? I am choosing this game over Skyward Sword. Are you not entertained?
That is entertaining. I am entertained.
Good. And then Square Enix dropped a lot of new details about the game, including some more backstory on how the characters end up in the Reaper's game, and some vast character details about the main characters, some side characters, some of the Reapers, and new gameplay elements. Talks about the music and the world of Shibuya that's now brought into 3D, and I'm just excited. I am going to note, though, I am a little curious about how the gameplay is going to work, because the trailer showed it's going to be much more, free flow and hands-on, because the DS and the various ports, including the Switch version, you usually would play it with one person controls two characters on two different screens, or in the Switch version on one screen. And it was your job to bounce back and forth to defeat the Noise, which are the bad guys, or the bad monsters, and the Reapers, which are the bad guys and gals, and so on and so forth. But with this one, it's 3D, so you're actually watching the battles happen in real time on a 3D stage. So I'm curious on that, how that's going to play. Because it's not going to be the same as the 2D version, clearly.
Yeah, I've seen those, like, some of the gameplays. It seems like they're going for the whole mobile, like, fighter in a sense.
Yeah.
With like a whole, like, oh, very similar to MMORPGs, like that, like the, with your pins, the stamps, where it has a cooldown with the special attacks, it seems like.
Right.
So it may seem to like they're taking some routes, like, I don't know, it's very similar to Final Fantasy 14 or any other MMOs out there, it seems.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. So, I'm just excited for the game because it looks good, and They're gonna have full voice acting, which they didn't have
Yes,
last
yes,
time.
yes, 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 yes.
And there will be obvious connections to the original game, including Mini Miyamoto. And if you don't know that character, you're so Zeta slow. And Neku was teased
Yes,
in the
yes, yes.
original, so that's very promising. And so hopefully we'll be getting more information on that as we get closer to the July 27th release date.
And also, I'm just wondering, are you thinking about getting that special edition that has like the whole bag and pin set on the Square Enix store?
Oh yeah, I'm tempted. I'll think about it. I mean, I love The World Ends With You. I always have. And let's see, you want to talk about indie games, Tyler? That was an indie game when it came out. It was made by Jupiter, published by Square Enix. No one really knew about it. I found out about it because of XPlay. They gave it a 5 out of 5. I trusted them. I got the game, and I've been a diehard fan ever since. So I even lied about not playing it before so I could write a report about it on college at college.
Oh,
Full stop.
and just curious, have you actually seen the anime of The World Ends With You?
I have not watched it. I know that the first episode just came out recently, and I'm pretty sure it's not dubbed yet.
No,
So,
it's only sub right
yeah,
now.
I am a dubs man, all right? I
Oh.
have integrity. Now, for all of you who prefer subtitles, it's fine. I like American voice actors most of the time. So, I will wait for my subs, but when it co or my dubs, when it comes out on dubs, whether it be Toonami or Funimation or Hulu or whatever, I'm still waiting. I haven't seen My Hero Season 5 because the dubs don't come out till May. But I'm definitely excited that it's getting an anime, and now that we get the sequel, I'm a happy man.
I am playing Dragon Quest XI on Japanese mode. I
Thank you, thank
never,
you, thank
yeah,
you.
I never, I was totally a dub guy, and after watching like one season of Attack on Titan, I was like, what am I doing? Sub. Sub is the way to go. So I'm like, hey, like even I almost did it for Bravely too, but for some reason I guess I was reviewing that one, so I wanted to like get the English voice. But yeah, no, I think sub might be the way.
The only game, oh, not the only game ever. Bad voice acting, but the game that almost turned me into a subs man was Star Ocean Till the End of Time, because they had these two girls named Tynave and Farlene, and Farlene had the most high-pitched voice ever, and she wasn't even trying to sound mellow. She was like, I want to do this right. Oh no, please leave, we gotta go. Ah! You know, like that. She's talking like that constantly, and she's a recurring character, so you'd hear that high-pitched squeal of a voice, and I'm just like, why? And then they had Izzy from Digimon be one of the main characters, and he's usually great as Izzy, but as this character, he was just so over the top. And I'm just like, why? Like, why are they so annoying? And then like other characters were perfectly fine. And that's the scary part, is if you don't do voice acting right, they're gonna notice very quickly. So, but that's another topic entirely. So, from a franchise that I'm going to gush about to a person Tyler likes to rave about, let's talk Shintaro Furukawa. Yes, Tyler's hate relationship with the current president of Nintendo is well known here on NEP, and he has said something in recent times that has gotten a lot of us thinking. He was doing a talk about the next Nintendo console, which he says it's coming, and you know they're working on it. They're just trying to see where it comes and blah 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 blah. But then he talked about gaming IP, and he said, quote, "As we spend more time in our homes, we are becoming increasingly spoiled for choice when it comes to entertainment. For people to choose to play our games with limited free time, the games must be interesting. Competition is fierce, and we're not looking at the current situation lightly. We are constantly looking out for new ideas and researching what we can utilize next. In the future, we want to not only work on our staple series like Mario and Zelda, but also work on new games and new series." Quote. Now, that's a nice thing to say, but whether you're actually doing that is another story. Like, oh, I don't know, where's Star Fox and F-Zero and Golden Sun and Donkey Kong and all these other.
Tut.
Yes.
F-Zero, I think I've said this like 6 episodes in a row. F-Zero is a banned franchise. We don't talk about it here. We don't talk about it. We don't discuss it. We don't ask for it. If it happens, then we talk about it. But until that day, we never mention those five letters with a hyphen in the same order. It's just, we don't do that. We don't say that title.
Well, I'm going to talk about it, not because I'm the host, but I'm a dishonorable man, and as
just
we
call
all,
it, it. Just
and
say
as we all know,
the series
Tyler,
who shall not be named.
Tyler,
like that.
Tyler, I'm a dishonorable man, and as you know, we live in a society where honor is but a distant memory. So anyway, like again, I'm fine with him saying like part of this is totally correct. Like the whole, you know, if they're playing games on Switch for free time, the games have to be good. Competition is fierce. That's true, especially with the new consoles out. And you know, you shouldn't take things lightly, and you should look off of you know, use Mario and Zelda. No one's telling you not to, but you got to expand the franchise. And for the first few years, they were crushing that. They absolutely were. But now we're getting to the point where it's like, you know, we're seeing more Mario titles. We're going to get a couple. We've already got a Zelda remake. We're probably going to get another later this year. And, you know, we had Hyrule Warriors last year, which was different, but still Zelda. So, you know, where's everything else? And you can say, well, what about Pokemon Snap? Yeah, but that's a Pokemon game. And there's like an infinite amount of Pokemon spin-offs, which we've talked about here on NEP. So can you get back to the whole, let's do all the other franchises now, please? Please and thank you?
Yeah. Like, it's almost like that's kind of the interesting about how these companies have like these all these IPs they're sitting on top of, and yet they have no idea what to do with it. I mean, heck, as I've been saying with Sega, where's Skies of Arcadia? Like, I've been saying that for
Will,
many years.
Don't make me ban Skies of Arcadia. Not that my ban ever, you know, gets enforced, but I will put it on the ban franchises list.
Yeah, like with that, or heck, with Square Enix, with I don't know, Brave Frenzy Musashi. I mean, heck, I love that game back on the PS1 and PS2. So like, yeah, Square Enix or that, like all these different companies have such great IPs, and yet they have nothing to do with it. Like, it's just wondering what the heck, then why? Like, at some, like, even with the whole Sega and Atlas join up together, they got to go ahead to use any old IPs, and yet they're not doing anything. Nintendo has so much great IPs of like the whole series that shall not be named racing game or any of that sort. It's just
Zero F, the Zero F franchise,
and it's just like so much things. It's like, yeah, heck, even to the point of, I'll say, even Takamaru's Castle. Yeah, how about remake Takamaru's Castle? That seems to be a good idea. So it's just, yeah, I just kind of have a wonder, like, maybe because, like, with the changing of technology or just changing of ideas and, I don't know, methodologies, like, what are they doing? What is preventing them, aside from the whole financial risk and all that? Sure.
Oh, I forgot Kid Icarus, obviously. We got to have a new Kid Icarus. Or we could do something bold, like what Reggie Fils-Aimé literally just put on Twitter. You see Twitch, the official Twitch handle asked a question. What's the oldest game in your library that remains unplayed? And so Reggie, being a boss, said, quote, Mother 3 English version. Every time I think it's time to play it, I get trolled and decide to put it off. Maybe I'll fire it up this weekend. Oh, Reggie! That's mean.
Where's Mother 3?
Yeah, for those who don't know, there was an anniversary of Mother 3 the other day, and so naturally, the fans took to Twitter to ask Nintendo to finally localize Mother 3. But they will not, and that's why it's a D franchise. Right, Tyler?
Or maybe they're holding that card for this year's E3. You never know.
Oh, we know. Will, come on. We know. Oh, boy. Alright, and finally, this one isn't a full-on story, but it's a tease of what might come. There was multiple rumors the other day that there is a Nintendo-Xbox collaboration of some kind that is going to be coming later this year. And people even cited a picture of Phil Spencer, and on like a shelf in his background, there were various items, and every one of those items apparently had a direct tie to something that's coming out soon, and one of those things was a Nintendo item. I didn't see the picture. But they're teasing something coming between Nintendo and Xbox later this year. So that's interesting. Hopefully it's not something for Minecraft. I mean, if it's just a Minecraft thing, I'm going to be so mad. Because it's like, we've already been there. We've been there. Dump that. Steve's in Smash Brothers. We got the Nuts Enough collaboration. All right. Enough. So
it's Banjo 3. The long-awaited Banjo 3.
I would be fine with that. And if it comes out on both Xbox and Nintendo exclusively, I'd be okay with that.
Fine, okay, and fine. Oh, just okay and fine. Well, this would be the greatest thing that ever happened,
Tyler,
in my opinion.
I got three words for you. Nuts and bolts.
Yeah, well, listen. Nuts and Bolts, while not a Banjo game by any stretch of the imagination, was fun. I had a lot of fun with that game. It was not a Banjo game. Uh-huh. Absolutely not. However, it was still quality. It was a good game.
Uh-huh. I believe the technical term was, that's a log. Anyway, but honestly, I would be okay if they just said, hey, we're going to launch Banjo-Kazooie 3 on Nintendo and Xbox. I'm like, that'd be fine. And then if the game is good, then I will play it. And if it is not, I shall not. It's that simple. So I've been burned too many times, Tyler, so I will not be jumping for joy for this one. Not until it's actually confirmed. So, all right. And speaking of, this is actually a perfect segue, because when we were thinking about our main event tonight, Tyler proposed an idea, a question of what games have come out in the past that deserved to not come out when they did. Meaning they should have stayed longer in development, you know, built themselves up a little bit better, more finesse, more polish, which perfectly translates to Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts, because what the heck were they thinking? So, but we're doing this Nintendo style. We're going to do this in a Nintendo discussion. All right, so Tyler, since you were the person who came up with this idea, mm-hmm. why don't you tell us the game that you felt should have stayed in the oven, as you put it. And I already know your game, so I'm just going to tune this out and just let you
So just for the context, this idea spawned from the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine, which also could have used more time in the oven.
Okay, hold on. But... do you want a real story about this?
Yeah, of course I do.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
On Sunday, I decided that I just, you know, I needed to go and get a vaccine shot. I was not delaying it. I was just, I live in my home alone, and I rarely expose myself to people, so I knew that other people needed it. But I was just like, you know what? I need to get it. So I went to my Walgreens, and they had a whole bunch of openings for the vaccine. And one closest to me, about 10 miles away, said, hey, we have plenty of appointments this Tuesday for the Johnson & Johnson one-shot vaccine. So I'm like, perfect. So I sent one up in the morning. That way I could go, take the shot, wait 15 minutes, not die, and then go home and do work, right? And I set it for 9:50, and I was going to leave it around 9:35. So I wake up, and I'm having troubles getting back to sleep, and I look at my phone, and my phone's going off. And I don't recognize the number, but it says it's in Urbana. So I'm like, okay, maybe it's someone I know. And I turn it on, and it's Walgreens. And they're calling me an hour before I'm supposed to come in to let me know that the CDC has put a pause on the vaccine. So I was literally an hour away from potentially being cured or dead. And
it was one or the other.
One or the other. It's 50-50. And they called me to let me know, hey, we have to pause on this. And now they have, like, no openings for the foreseeable future until they switch to the Pfizer or Moderna. And I'm like, I was an hour away from disaster. Potentially.
Yeah, you know, the case, like, they're saying it's, like, only 6 people in, like, 6 million have had it. But I just, when they put a pause to it, that told me maybe they know more. Anyway.
Yeah.
It was, much like the J&J vaccine, the Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, to me, was a game that needed more time in the oven, because there's a tremendous idea at its core. It's the origin point for the franchise. It adds so much to the series, the franchise's lore. However, and the motion controls, the idea of actually being able to swing the sword accurately with the Wii Motion Plus would make for a really engaging experience if those motion controls just worked better. They're not bad by any stretch of the imagination. It works, for me, it worked, I would say, like 80 to 85% of the time. However, you're slashing so often that 15% miss input or misread situation, they can come back and bite you at the worst times, and it almost always does, especially against the longer, more protracted boss battles. I think if they if the motion technology was better, that game would have been, even though it still had design problems, I think it was too linear for a Zelda game, and you repeat visited places too often. If the motion controls were pinpoint, it would have been a tremendous experience given the story combined with the gameplay. And the dungeons are tremendous. Those are among the best dungeons in the series. It really just needed... it was before its time in a lot of ways. And while sometimes I think that makes you have a greater appreciation for the game looking back, for me, motion controls have sort of faded out of favor, and that makes it a tough one to go back to. So if they had, you know, if the Wii Motion Plus was more effective at improving the precision, if they had waited, you know, or even, I don't even, you know, I'm not a programmer, but if they were able to make the game read things more accurately, it would have been one of the best games in the franchise. And instead, for me, it ranks closer to the bottom. So that, to me, is the poster child for Nintendo. And Nintendo never, they're very rarely do they
release a game that's raw,
you know? Most of their, I think that's why this is kind of an exciting conversation, because Nintendo delays games when they're not ready. It's very rare. But Skyward Sword was one of them.
I guess for me, and unfortunately mine's kind of very simple answer, it's almost to being a dead horse, but for me, like, I think it's also in the same department as you, Tyler. Like, for me, it's gotta be Star Fox Zero, honestly. I feel like that game, it just had so much potential, but again, with the whole shoehorn motion controls, especially with the dual screens, it's just like, there's just so much. I mean, even though I have played it and I like generally adapted to it, I feel like just allow me to play with general controllers. I mean, just let me just play with the dual screen on itself, or heck, even a simple wired controller, pro controller for the Wii, and I'll be very much happy with that. But no, they had to go and try to reinvent the wheel, which is just, yeah. Granted, you want to try to utilize all the systems on the Wii U and just like the whole camera with the gyro, with aiming, all that, try to make it be as immersive as you can. I mean, okay, I see what you're going for with that, Shigeru, but with how it is, it's just like, it definitely feels like this is not how it's basically supposed to be. Like, yes, I want my Star Fox game, again, from Star Fox Zero, from Star Fox 64 to Zero to Assault to these prior games, which, again, simple dogfighting mechanics, simple flight controls, and shooting, and heck, even some ground-based tank landmaster tank controls. Yeah, that thing I was used to for many players, but here with Zero, with that dual screen motion control aiming and just like really more or less have to like twist your body to the point, it's like, yeah, this is instant Star Fox that I wanted, to say the least. And I feel like if they had that option to actually allow you to play with like simple controllers, I think it would avoid a lot of the backlash that it received, aside from the whole forced controllers that they want you to play as. Like, story-wise, obviously great. It's typical Star Fox fashion. Great voice acting, great cutscenes. All that, everything was just pretty much great. Heck, even facing off against Star Wolf was definitely a highlight. It was just so much fun to face against them. But again, the controls, I just want to say, like, if they had that option to play with just simple controllers, I think it would have been much more better. So, yeah. Like, I know, understand this game has been beamed over many times over about its controllers, but it's just really, that is one of the rare cases that, yeah, Nintendo has kind of screwed over. And this is under supervision from Shigeru Miyamoto, which, yeah, I mean, he's the guy who made Mario. So, yeah, personally for me, it's got to be Star Fox Zero. If they had a bit more time, just put in that simple controller option, I think that would have been better.
It couldn't have happened at a worse time, too, for Nintendo, where that franchise was already kind of on the brink, and the Wii U itself was on the brink. And, like, they really would have been nice if that was a big hit to send the console out with, like, they nailed that Star Fox game, though, and it just... they didn't. And that, I like that pick. It's a good one.
Well, for me, this is actually a hard one because I'm usually one of the guys who is like, rarely does, you know, Nintendo screw up and, you know, more time the better. But the more I really think about it, the more I gotta pick a game that Tyler's gonna hate me for.
Oh?
Well, I mean, you could do something like, say, Metroid Other M. I mean, that would be an obvious choice because, you know,
Fair, fair, fair,
there
fair,
was
fair.
grand concepts there and they just failed on certain other levels, and I could easily go for that. But for me, when I think about more refinement needed, my mind immediately goes to Kid Icarus Uprising.
So when you said I would hate you for it, I thought you say that a lot, and then usually I don't hate you for it. Usually I don't hate you
But
for it. This
usually.
time I hate you for it. Kid Icarus Uprising. It's delightful. Go ahead. Go ahead. Say your piece. Go ahead. Say your piece. Just say your piece. First of all, before you do, actually, before you do, do not listen to a word this man says. Listen to him because, you know, thanks for listening to the show, but like, don't take it to heart. This guy, he's crazy. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Disclaimer given. No, no.
When the trailer for Kid Icarus Uprising came out, I was as excited as anybody. I'll always remember Kit, the pit flying through the clouds and goes, "Sorry to keep you waiting," and everything before everything. The trailer was great. I get the game and I've seen the reviews online, and like I watch listen to IGN or whatever, and they go, "You know, it's a good game, but your hand's gonna cramp." I'm like, "My hand's gonna cramp. What's wrong with you?" So I get to the game and I'm playing it for like less than 30 minutes, and boy, does my hand start to cramp. And I'm liking the game. Don't get me wrong. I liked the game. The story was deep. I liked the voice acting. I liked the different weapons. I even did multiplayer online, which I rarely ever did with my 3DS. And I just, after a while, it was just, I couldn't stand the hand cramping. And then to further cement how much they kind of botched this, they did the whole, "Hey, we're gonna make that what was it, like the extension keypad,
Yes.
so that you could have like extra hand space to go and maneuver and to not have hand cramps," when you have to make an accessory for a singular game to go and relieve your players of hand cramps, you have a problem. All right, and don't get me wrong, I understand this is a rail shooter. All right, I've played rail shooters, some even on like consoles like the Switch. My hands never cramped during those. All right, my hand was cramping as I was trying to, you know, move Pit, move the weapon, fire the weapon, do some jumping, do some dodging, doing this, doing that, and trying to handle it on a rather hard difficulty. I did try to play it on a hard difficulty, but even when I turned it down, it didn't help, and I was just like, the game was, maybe that's why the sequel has not happened yet. Not because Daddy Sakurai is making Smash Brothers, but because he doesn't know how to overcome the hand cramps. That's all I can think of. Is that because when you think of Kid Icarus Uprising, you hear two things. The story is great, undeniable, and you get hand cramps. Like, that's it. You know, it's, and that's why people gave it, you know, kind of middling reviews. It sold over a million copies, but not more than that. You know, probably because by that time, people had heard, spread the word, "Hey, you can play this game and enjoy it, but your hand's going to cramp something fierce." And no one wants to go into a game saying, "Okay, I got 30 minutes till the hand cramps coming in." Like, really? Really? So, yeah, that would be, that's honestly the only one I can really think of. I mean, outside of maybe like Mario Sunshine, but even then, I never got to
That's a
play
good
that.
one. Actually, that's a really good one. So let me counterpoint here. You said middling reviews. Kid Icarus Uprising has an 83 on Metacritic. That's a very good score.
That's a very good score.
That's a very good score. It has an 87 user score. That's a very good score.
Okay,
It's,
the
people
one the
like it.
revi I will revise the reviews that I saw were middling. How
Yeah,
about that?
yeah. So that's fair. The hand cramps point is, you make a good point about the need for a third, an extension to the DS to help avoid hand cramps. That is a thing that happened. So yes, it was definitely a major issue. On the sequel point, though, that game, Kid Icarus Uprising, was made intentionally for the DS, and I think it could not be played on another console because you're using the touchscreen to spin the camera like a globe, and you're aiming with the but by like slowly moving the stylus around, you're like clicking and pointing with that. So it's very much a DS game. On the bottom screen and the top screen, you're watching the action. So I think that's why we haven't seen the game kind of redone. It just wouldn't work on Switch unless they kind of cut out. Unless they totally rebuild it from the ground up with a whole new control scheme, which would take away from what made the game special and gave it its identity.
Mm-hmm.
I this obviously it's subjective. I think that's a really good point. A lot of people did have issues with it, and if they spent more time working on it, they could have come up with an alternative way to make people play that they would have enjoyed more. I do think it's a good pick, as angry as it makes me. At the same time, I think part of why I loved the way it played, because it was so unique to the DS. It was only able to be played on the DS, and that was part of what made it so special. Plus, lest we forget how innovative it was with its difficulty. Its difficulty, its adjustable difficulty that would slide depending on how good or bad you were doing, is still used in Sakurai's games today, 10 years later. Kid Icarus Uprising, Test of Time, A-plus game, delightful. I love it. If you haven't played it and you have a 3DS sitting around, go get it and deal with the hand cramps, because it's absolutely worth it.
Yeah, I would rather not deal with the hand cramps. I will wait for the eventual Switch port, should they ever decide on that. And like, again, it's these kind of games I prefer to have two sticks instead of just one stick with, like, yeah, I don't need to have to control my left stick and a D-pad, while I could just have a two control sticks, left stick, right stick, to aim my weapons. I think I rather prefer that. Heck, even the new 3DX XL with that rubber knob of a C-stick to control the other stick, it's a secondary stick, I think I would prefer that more than the original DS on the 3DS. So, yeah, I'll just wait for that and spare myself the hand cramps. Thank you very much.
You disgust me. You all disgust me. Mario Sunshine, however, I'm surprised. That's a great one, Todd. Like, that is the quintessential Nintendo game. I'm glad that you said that, because I would feel like it was malpractice if we didn't mention Mario Sunshine as a game that needed more time in the oven. Yeah.
So, and again, like, even with the ones that we're mentioning, you know, it's not a... These are still, like, very few games. Like, these are very few games of... say, like, you know, Nintendo and their various developers should have spent more time on these. So it's actually a testament to Nintendo that we can't more easily think of certain titles. Now, yeah, there's some titles that should just never have existed, like, oh, I don't know, Federation Force or Color Splash or Sticker Star.
Yeah,
those games just shouldn't have existed for one reason or another, and that's an entirely different topic. But for ones that, you know, didn't follow the Nintendo standard, their style of wait until it's done to release, to avoid something like, oh, I don't know, an Avengers or Cyberpunk 2077 or Anthem.
None of these games approach that level, too.
No, not even close to that. Like, no, not even. So, yeah, like, it's actually a good thing that we struggle with trying to figure out these things, because, yeah, Nintendo's just that good.
We all right. Also picked control scheme games. Like, all of our picks were control schemes.
Oh, yeah. Huh. There, go figure. So, with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yeah, this is another thing that I'm really good at, so I'm glad that you threw this over to me. What series should receive the Pac-Man 99 treatment next? WarioWare with 42%. Donkey Kong the Arcade Game, 17%. Galaga 33% and Asteroids 8%.
Wow, WarioWare actually pulled it off, huh? How many votes did we have?
12.
Okay, I'll take 12. 12's fair.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking more about the WarioWare afterwards, because that was my suggestion, and I thought the attacking and defending part, how is that going to work? And I think it can certainly work, like you could affect the other person's timer somehow by like succeeding, but in Pac-Man 99, and the other ones, really, there are so many little, like, there are 8 different settings that you can use in Pac-Man 99, 4 to attack, and 4 will, like, impact what happens when you eat a power pellet. And I'm not sure how that works in WarioWare. I can't picture it myself. It's more of, like, a stamina competition. But
well, that would be how you work it, is that, you know, you try and complete the mini games. Like, you wouldn't all do the same mini game at the same time. It would be, like, a random selection amongst the various screens. And the quicker you get it done, the more you can go and infect another screen. And then maybe they can throw in, like, special items that, you know, you have to play the minigame and try and collect to do, like, say, attacks or defenses against your fellow opponents. So you just turn into a WarioWare game within a WarioWare game. So there's a way to do it.
Yeah, there's definitely. I think it'd be really fun. I hope that they crack the code and pull it off.
All right. No poll question this week. I don't think we're going to need. So let us know what you think about everything that's been going on, including the all of the Pokemon Snap news. And Indie World, what titles did you see on it that you liked that you might get? What did you think about all the new details for The World Ends With You? And what do you think about this potentially new Nintendo Xbox collaboration? And are you with Tyler that it might be a Banjo-Kazooie thing? Let us know in the comments below. So for Atelius, Tyler, and Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag.